Well, this is a wonderful time of the year. I think, you know, if you travel around, you can go into any surrounding city. I know if you go into New York City, you can see all the lights and all of the wonderful things. If you drive around the neighborhoods, you can see some who have their houses decorated. So it's a wonderful time of the year. It's a blessed time. It's a time of people just giving and sharing, right, is what we were singing with this song. But it's a time, and we should, but it's a time where we remember Christ's birth. And if it wasn't for his birth, where would we be? Because he came for a purpose. That's what the scriptures share with us. He came and to redeem mankind. So I want to just share a few thoughts along that line today. I know most of you are familiar with Christ's birth and his story, but there's some things. A lot of times we look at scripture one way. There's so many ways to look at the scriptures, and we can get so much. A lot of times people ask these questions, well, how does that help me? How does that pertain to me today in what I have to face with? Well, that's what Christ came for. That's what the scriptures say in John 10:10. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. So some people say, well, I sure ain't living. I don't see that in my life. Well, you know, then there's more scripture to reveal how we can live an abundant life. But that was the purpose he came, to destroy the works of the devil and to destroy his grip and hold on mankind, because mankind failed. They sinned. Adam did. And so because of that, there was this separation between God and man. There was no legal place that man could come and approach God. But thank God for Jesus, that because he took our sins and he made a way for us to legally approach God. Because without that, we couldn't. And there was no way to approach a holy God. But thank God for Jesus. And really, if you have your Bible, I wanted to just open up and look at some thoughts along this line today. And when you talk about, and you even begin to talk about the Christmas purpose or story, if you call, you know, we could call it the Christmas story, you really have to go back initially to see where this all started. Oh, I'm going to wait for these folks to come in here. They're finding mommy and daddy here somewhere. Yeah, they're looking. They'll find them. If your mommy or daddy, raise your hand so they can see you. There you go. They're working it out. Amen. Praise God. But actually, if you go to Genesis 3 and you look at verse 15, this really gives you some idea here after man fell. God began right here putting something in place for mankind, so that he could redeem mankind. And when you look at this particular scripture, let me look over here. I have this in a different translation. But Genesis 3, chapter 3 and verse 15, and, you know, you can back up and the Lord said, you know, because you've done these things, he's talking to the serpent, said you're going to be cursed and crawl on your belly and so forth. And he continues in verse 15, and he said, and I will put enmity, this is the King James, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. More modern translations will give you a little better understanding of what that actually means, but the Amplified translation says, I will put enmity or open hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed or offspring and her seed, and he shall fatally bruise your head, and you shall only bruise his heel. So God began right here to put a plan of redemption in place right here. And this is where God started right here. This shows you the love of God, that just because man blew it, God started to put in place here a redemption plan. Isn't that exciting that God cared that much about mankind that he would redeem them? So you can see here that he put in place a plan of redemption, and man's condition demanded that there be an incarnation. So we can see here that because of the state of mankind, that they were separated from God, God needed to have a holy, or you could say a merger of divinity or deity with humanity. It had to identify with mankind. And you can see that in the scripture in John 1:14, it says that he became flesh. So you can see that God, in the image of his son, came down and did what? He became flesh. He became like us. Isn't that wonderful? But he did not partake of our fallen nature initially. He became flesh, but he didn't partake of the fallen state of mankind. What do I mean by that? Man's spirit was separated from God. The minute mankind sinned, that what happened? In other words, through progeneration and all of that, mankind passed down sin from man generation to generation. So man was fallen. They were separated from God and their spirit was darkened. And so God needed to redeem them, redeem mankind. And so here we have where Jesus came and he did what? He became flesh, but he did not partake of man's sinful nature. Because if he had, he would have walked in a darkened state. Jesus would have walked in his earthly ministry separated from God. But he wasn't. He was in fellowship with God. And so he didn't partake of man's darkened state or their fallen state until when? The crucifixion, where he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he actually became sin. So at that point, he actually took on our sinful nature. He took the sins of mankind. Isn't that wonderful to know? But during his earthly ministry, he walked as what? He walked as a man, the Son of Man, but he was God, but he walked as the Son of Man, but he walked as a sinless man. And so he had no sin in him. There was no guile, no sin to be found in him. And so he became flesh, and he became what? The lamb. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So it's a wonderful thing when you start to look at all of the scriptures. And let's look at just a few this morning as we're looking at this. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And God was, you know, hundreds of years before this ever took place, God prophesied through, or he spoke through the prophet Isaiah, and he actually did what? He prophesied this birth, and he gave details of it. This is the wonderful thing about the scripture. We want to find something out, go to the word of God. He prophesied his birth. So here you can see in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. So he's telling them hundreds of years ahead of time. He's telling them a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means what? God is with us. So one of the things that I've been sharing down in Nanuet is you can see here that there were three things that happened here. God you could say God is with us, or his presence is with us. This is one of the wonderful things that we can recognize during this season, is that God is with us. He came, and of course we know Jesus' earthly ministry, but here he said, you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is what? God is with us. And then let's look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, just a couple chapters over, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. And now let's look at Micah. This is where he prophesied hundreds of years before this came to pass. You know, a lot of times when we talk about, well, why don't you turn over? I'll make a point here. But let's look at Micah, the book of Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2. He prophesies here the location of his birth. So one, he prophesied through prophet Isaiah the birth itself and how it would come to pass. And here he's prophesying through the prophet Micah. He's sharing here the location of his birth. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from where? Everlasting. So he's sharing here the actual location. So we can see from Scripture, God is giving some information here as to the location of his birth. Also, I know we don't look at these scriptures that often, but go over to the book of Daniel, and you can look at this also. In the book of Daniel, in verse 24, you know, when we talk about seasons, you know, there's a season for everything. You know, Ecclesiastes talks about that. There's a time to plant, there's a time to sow, there's a time to cry, there's a so forth. There's a season for everything. And if you're not conscious of seasons with God, you can miss things with God. And you can miss things and miss out on the blessings of God. And God may be sending you help and you just, you know, as you say, clueless. And you're not looking for God to answer some things in your life, and you can miss things. And there's seasons in life. Sometimes we may go through some seasons, maybe a hard season, maybe a good season. But here, he's saying here, this is a time frame of his birth. And so here in the book of Daniel, he's giving here a decree to his people. And let me read it in the Amplified translation. You can follow along in the King James. But here in the book of the Amplified in Daniel 9, verse 24, it says, 70 weeks of years, or 490 years, have been decreed for your people and for your holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make atonement or reconciliation for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, right standing with God, to seal up vision and prophecy and prophet, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and understand that from the issuance of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Prince, there will be 7 weeks of years and 62 weeks of years, it will be built again with a city plaza and moat, even in times of trouble. So here he's giving a season or time frame for the coming of the Messiah. And we don't normally look at these scriptures, and sometimes, you know, it may be just difficult for us to understand these prophetic scriptures, but the point is, it's a time frame. And God was decreeing that and helping them to understand. And so what happened when he was born, there were a whole lot of people that said, eh, they didn't believe it. They didn't come. What happened? You had three wise men that came looking because they had what? It said they studied the scriptures. And they were what? Looking for the coming of the Messiah. There were a whole lot of people that weren't. So you can say the same thing today when we're looking at Jesus came, he redeemed us, and he said he's coming again. See, and we can miss that season and not be looking for his return. We can be so busy with life that we're not looking for his return. And we need to understand that from the scripture that God has given us information not only here about his coming is for his birth, but in his second coming. You see. So we need to be aware of that. So let's take a look here. I want to look at Luke chapter 1 and spend just a few minutes here in this great account of Mary here. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. And I want us to look at this here in Luke and then also in Matthew. And just consider some things here. You know, when we talk about this time of the year, and we say, oh, it's a wonderful time of the year, and it is a wonderful time of the year, but for some people, it can be very stressful. It can be a very, very difficult time, you know, for people, and for a variety of reasons. There can be a lot of reasons that this can be a very stressful or very trying time for families and people. It can be. But let's look at this here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And it said, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. In verse 29, it says, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Then the angel left her. Now let's go over to the book of Matthew, Matthew 1, first chapter, and let's go to verse 18. I'm just reading these accounts and to make a point here. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. that says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. Now, one last scripture I want to look at is Luke chapter 2. Let's go back to chapter 2 of Luke and look at verse 1, starting in verse 1. And this is the New Living also. It says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Now, looking at this whole account, you know, when we look at the shepherds singing glory to God in the highest and raising hallelujah, one of the things that you look at here in this account, when you look at the account of Mary and Joseph, this was not what I would call a very happy time for them. This was a very stressful time. Would you not agree? This was very stressful for them. Here he's trying to figure out, oh my God, it says when he pondered and considered putting his wife away so he wouldn't disgrace her, the angel appeared to him and said, take Mary, your wife. So he's wrestling with something here. He's struggling with something. And so was Mary. Mary was saying, how can this be? And then the angel said and gave her these words. See. And now when you think about all of this, now she's pregnant. They have to go. He has to go back to his home ancestral town. And so she's ready to give birth. Ain't going in a car. They're on a donkey, and it's about 80 miles from where they are to Bethlehem. It's an 80-mile trek. She's sitting on a donkey. He's walking. This is not an easy time. They're faced with something in life. They're faced with some issues in life. But one of the things that's interesting to me and out of all of this is that regardless, we face things in life. We face struggles and issues. But what did Mary say that's key? She said, be it unto me as you've spoken. Let the words that you spoke to me, let them be. And what did Joseph do? He pondered putting Mary away. And the angel came and said, take Mary, your wife. And what does it say? When he came to up from that dream, he went and did it. So he obeyed what? The word of the Lord. In other words, they kept their focus not on the issue and the problem. Wasn't that they didn't have a problem or problems, but what did they do? They kept their eyes on God as their answer. They didn't, because if Mary had said, well, I don't know about that, it would have never come to pass. She said, be it unto me, the words that she spoke. And Joseph honored that. So they looked, and if you look further down, see, these are the wonderful things in these story. Even at that time, what happened? It says, Joseph was warned, take your wife down into where? Into Egypt. He protected them. He protected Jesus and that family. So is he not, in other words, when we look at the Holy Spirit and all of this, and we look at God and his Spirit, if he's going to protect them, what does the scripture say? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he protected that family then, he'll protect your family today. He will protect you from all hurt and harm. If you do what? Look for him to do that. You get up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for protecting my family today. Thank you for protecting my children. Thank you for protecting my husband and wife. Thank you for protecting all of that you've blessed me with. If you look for him to do that, see, and you honor him in your life, see. So this is what I took out of this story here, is that it wasn't that they didn't have problems. They were faced. And when you think about that society, if you were pregnant without being married, that's a big thing. You could have gotten stoned and killed. And so there were repercussions for those things in that society under the law. And so just looking at that, we need to walk away from some of these things saying, look, God protected them, he'll protect me. And his Spirit is here. And the other thing that's also one of the things that I kind of take away from this also is that when you go back to Luke chapter 1, and Mary said, may everything you've said about me come true. And God did. So if he honored, if he fulfilled that word, then we can walk away today that it's not only about his presence today, Emmanuel, God with us, but it's also about his promises. He fulfilled that promise. If he fulfilled that one promise, he'll fulfill all his promises. So we can walk away with just simple thoughts saying, God is with us. His presence is with us, and his promises are for me, and they're fulfilled. So if he fulfilled that one promise with Mary, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will fulfill all of the promises of God that are for us, all the blessings of God for us. So then another point, just to continue here, when you look at Isaiah chapter 9 and you look at verse 6, he said, he's what? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's my peace. He is my peace. So I may be faced with issues in life, but he is the Prince of Peace. He is my peace. And so these three points that we can take away from this time of the year is that he is God with me. He's God with us. He fulfills his promises and watches over them. Just from this Christmas story, we can look at it and see he fulfilled that one promise. Then that means he'll fulfill every promise that pertains to me. And he is my peace. I mean, we can look at John and just look at that scripture in John 14. Let me just give you this scripture here. Well, I don't have that here, but let's look over here. John 14, I believe it's verse 23. Verse 26 and 27. It says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He is my peace." So he is God with me, God with us. He fulfills his promises, and he is my peace. And so we can walk away also and look at these Christmas account and see that Joseph and Mary had to face troubling things in their life. But they kept their eyes and obeyed God's commands to them, and he helped them. He fulfilled and walked them through that, did he not? So that's the wonderful thing. And when we look at, just take a look here at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, talking about his peace. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and take him for all he has done and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." So all the things that we face in life, all the issues that cause us to disturb us or unsettle us as far as our peace is concerned, this says here, don't worry about it. Don't worry about anything. It says what? It says, let your request, that's what the King James says, but it says, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Or to ask him, look for him, thank him for all he's done. So this is how we get God involved in our life. All through Jesus' ministry, he was the expression of the Father. When Jesus walked this earth, they said, "Show us the Father." He said, "How long have you been with me?" He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father." He was God in the body of Jesus. And so we can see the Father expressed through the ministry of Jesus, all throughout his ministry, reaching out to mankind, trying to help them, heal them, deliver them from bondages. And so thank God that Jesus went to the cross to do what? To deliver us, and to really, as it says, to destroy the works of the devil was one of the primary reasons that Jesus came. He had to take our sin because the devil had control. He was the God of this world and is. That's what the scripture says. But we don't serve him anymore. His power has been broken over mankind and legally. And so it's an exciting time of the year to remember that this is the in remembering Jesus' birth, remembering mainly his purpose for coming, and remembering that he came to destroy the works of the devil and to free mankind. But legally, we've all been, you could say, look at it this way. If a person was incarcerated and they were charged with a crime and incarcerated, but the legal system expunged their record and said, "You're legally free," but that person decides to stay incarcerated, that's not the system's fault. They're saying, you're free. You can leave. But what if they decide they don't want to leave? See, they have to do what? They have to believe that what they've done is so. And it's no different where Jesus is concerned. He died for the sins of all mankind. Every man has legally been freed. And they have to do what? Believe that Jesus did that and ask him, come into my life, cleanse me, free me, and, you know, come in and be Lord of my life. Take up residence in my heart. And when he does that, then that which legally has been done is actually carried out through the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like what Mary did. Be it unto me. And what? The power of the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And the power of God caused that birth or that seed to be planted in her. So the same thing today. When we believe that the work that Jesus came to do and fulfill was actually done, and he died, took my sins, went to hell, and when it was all paid for, he was raised from the dead and caused to, and it says that he was raised to be seated at the right hand of God. And so when you look at the scriptures, let's just take one look at Galatians chapter 4. We'll close with this scripture. Galatians chapter 4. And this is a wonderful scripture here. And verse 4 and 5. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation again. See, there's a right time for everything. This is what Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And then I'll continue in the King James. It says, to redeem them, this is verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God, how? Through Christ. So the minute we accept him, he comes into our heart, he takes up residence, and so we become, as this says here, an heir of God. So this time of the year, let's keep Jesus as the focus, the reason for the season. And also just keep our focus on the fact that he came to redeem us. He did set us free if we've asked him into our hearts. And also remember that even though we may face issues and problems in life, keep our eyes on him. Keep our focus on him. Look to him. Don't be concerned about things. That's what the scripture says. Be anxious for nothing or take no thought. Don't be concerned. The Message translation says, don't worry about one thing. You know, that some people say, yeah, right. But if the Holy Spirit inspired the writer, Paul, to say, don't worry about one thing, he wouldn't tell us to do something that we were not capable to do. You know, worry is a choice. You can worry about something or you can say, you know what, I'm not going to worry about this. I choose not to. Now, it may invade, it may try to, really impact your thinking or your soulish area, But you can choose to say, I'm not going to worry about this. God is working in my behalf. God is working this out. And he'll lead you, just like he led them. And that's the exciting thing for me. This is not something that says this is only for young people, old people, middle-aged people. This is for all. And so we can look to him during this season. We can look to him for help in every area of our life, no matter what it looks like. And so that's exciting to me. I mean, you know, I've told my stories. You know, I can think of, you know, protection-wise, just that's just one little small thing. But I can think of before I even knew God, acting nutty, crazy, racing cars. I remember going down a road at 150 miles an hour in a sports car with a guy hitting a slick of water with slicks on, spinning down the road like this, never hitting a guardrail or a car. Should have been dead. Just coming up here, driving up here. I remember falling asleep at the wheel, drowsy. And boy, and I woke up just looking at a bump. I shouldn't have looked at a bump. I shouldn't have woken up. And it was like, I'm up, and there it is. 1, 2, 3, turn, missed it. Another time, I'm home, came back from vacation with family, and the Holy Spirit, I know his voice. I heard his voice down here. He said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of this year. That was 6 months. I had been in pain for a year, and I was convinced I was healed, and I am. But I obeyed because guess what? The Holy Spirit, God, knows more about you than you do. And so I did go, had myself checked, and so it was a simple adjustment. It was dietary, but if I had let it go any longer, I'd have been dead. And so just for me, the mere fact that God is in my life and protecting me and helping me with choices to make and issues that we face, God is a good God. He's a loving God, and he loves all of us, and he will protect us and bless us if we look to him to do that. And when he's trying to get our attention, if we just listen, you know, sometimes, I mean, we all miss it sometimes. We're in a hurry. We're not listening. Yeah, I got to go. And he's like, hello, I'm trying to get your attention. Don't do that. And when we miss it, we miss it. Say, God, I should have been paying attention. But sometimes during these seasons in life, let's be aware. Keep your focus on him and be more aware of his voice. You know, I heard a minister. Turn over here for a minute. I'm going to close, I promise. But I'm going to close with this scripture here. Two scriptures. Look at John chapter 10. In this time of the season here that we're in the season of his return. Look at John chapter 10, and let's look at the beginning here of the Gospel of John. I'm going to read from the King James. Starting in verse 1, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep do what? Hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for what? They know his voice. This is so important. We need to know his voice. And the scripture says if you're his, you do know his voice. Now, you can get busy with life and not recognize it. You know, if you spend enough time, you know, husbands and wives, you spend enough time, you know their voice. You don't spend enough time, you're like, who is this? I hope we don't get to that, but that's a problem. If you don't know their voice, that's a problem. But you get my point. If you spend enough time, you know their voice. But now here, look at this. This was a great scripture here. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, chapter 4, I'm sorry. And this talks about Jesus' return, his second coming, his return, where he's going to catch the church up. How many of you all heard this? Well, when Jesus returns, we're going to hear the trump of God. Anybody heard that? Yeah, we're going to hear the trump, right? Look at 1 Thessalonians. Look at chapter 4. And let's back up here, verse 14. Or 13. So in verse 13 of chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians. It said here, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have fallen asleep or died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede, as the margin said, them which are asleep. So this means those that are dead in Christ, when he comes, they're going to be caught up first and then we'll follow. But listen in verse 16. This is what I'm talking about, knowing his voice, recognizing his voice. That's what Mary did. That's what Joseph did. He recognized who was speaking to him. But look at verse 16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a trumpet. And now, what does it say? With a shout. So he's going to say, come up. You're going to recognize his voice? So that's what I'm saying, that we need to be more sensitive to his leadings, his voice, because this says here, when he comes, when he returns, he says he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump or trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So this says here, when he comes, he's gonna come and descend with a shout. You're going to hear his voice. So during this time, during this season, let's look for him to lead us and guide us, to be sensitive to his voice. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this time. Let us be sensitive in this season. We rejoice for your birth. We thank you, Father, for sending your son. Thank you for coming in the likeness of your son. We thank you. Thank you for all that you did, that you walked out your ministry with no sin. You took our sins and bore them and went to hell and paid the price for us. And so we thank you for that, but we're so grateful that we've accepted you and asked you into our hearts, and that you speak to us, you guide us, you lead us every day into safety, into good things, into the covenant of God. promises. And we thank you. We're so grateful today. Thank you for protecting us and our families and our children and all the things that we have to do for you. We thank you that we're protected. We're a covenant people and a blessed people. And we thank you that, it is, as your word says, it is no longer I that liveth, but it is Christ that liveth in me. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen.